So I want to begin this morning, this fourth and final installment of our topic, the not-so-secret secret of joy, with a time of prayer, and we're going to go from there. And if the Lord say the same, and we've got time to do so, I may actually open the line, as it were, for you Facebook viewers, for a little Q&A. If you have a question or two about this topic, don't be asking me about the horse pawing in the valley, you know. And I used to hear that as I was a boy, you know, he's talking about the horse pawing in the valley. And I'm like, what? But that is actually a scripture over in Job. But it has nothing to do with most of the stuff we're talking about in church. So it was their way of saying, I want you to tell me something that's meaningful and useful to me. I don't want to hear about the horse pawing in the valley. That ain't helping me right now with what I'm going through. Good morning, Minister Rogers, and my lovely wife, Nina Smart Dixon, is in the room. Thank you for joining us today. So I want to pray, and then, like I say, if we have a little time after I'm finished today for Q&A, and you have a question or concern or even a comment out there in Facebook land about the topic that we've been on this last now 4 weeks of the not-so-secret secret of joy, then feel free to ask that, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say about that. So, Father God, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts and on our lips. We come, God, giving you the sacrifice of praise. We come, Lord, thanking you for who you are in us, and who you are through us as we allow you to manifest your glory and your presence. Father, we hallow this space and this time right now for you to do what you want to do in us and through us, for you to have your way, for you to manifest your presence as we look into your word. God, we pray your blessing upon each and every person who shall join us either here in person, on Facebook, web replay on our church website or our Facebook replay. God, each and every person, each and every family represented, we pray your hand of blessing, protection, and guidance. Lord, we are Deliverance Temple, and we pray your deliverance for each one needing deliverance. God, whatever it is from, whatever the problem, whatever the turmoil, whatever the situation that they're transitioning through, take them through, God, because yes, even though we walk, it seems, through the valley of the shadow of death, it is your presence, God, that lightens our heart, gives us courage and even joy to go through the journey successfully. So God, we bless you now. We bless this people in your name, and we give you all the glory and all the praise which you alone are worthy of. Amen and amen. So this morning we are finishing up this fourth installment of the series, The Not-So-Secret Secret of Joy. And as I was looking back through my notes, I was just kind of enjoying, pun totally intended, I was enjoying the revelations that God had given, even from the basics to some of the deeper things that he had shared with us over the last 4 weeks. And so I want to take just a quick few moments to kind of recap some of those. First of all, saying that here we are in the last throes of 2020, which has been, by all accounts, an unprecedented year for people across the planet, around the world. It has been an unprecedented year, primarily because of the spread of the COVID-19 disease around the planet, the coronavirus, so-called, around the planet, and the impact that it has had on individuals, on families, on communities, on whole nations, and world, the impact that it has had on how we view things, how we think about things, how we are experiencing things. You know, I Even the small things like going to the grocery store. I can't tell you the times that I myself have either been the person or seen another person heading across the parking lot to the store, only to stop realizing as people were exiting the store with their masks on that they didn't have theirs, and they had to go back to the car and get it. And so you got these, oh, stop, oh, all that kind of thing, and back to the car. There was a time not that long ago, we didn't concern ourselves with masks or anything else. We're just going in to get those green beans and get on back to the house, you know, but here we are. So things have taken a major turn for us in that respect. Good morning, Sister Sonia. Good to see you, ma'am. But we are to be people who continually are filled with the joy of the Lord. And it is, at best, I would say, challenging for many of us, most of us probably, to be that person who is joyful and rejoicing in the midst of all the craziness that's going on in our lives and in our world. Can I tell you something? I'm going to.
Go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. You still got challenges that haven't got anything to do with coronavirus. Amen. People had challenges before corona was ever a thing. And so people still have those challenges and others on top of that. And so it has been, for many of us, an extremely impactful, in a negative way, kind of a situation to have to go through what you're going through. Maybe that's financial, maybe that's relational, maybe that's a health concern. And then here come corona on top of all of that. Only this week, in fact, I was looking at a news story saying that no matter what happens now, the unemployment benefits have expired, the extra has expired, and no matter what the president decides to do, folks are going to lose at least one paycheck because of the delay in signing the bill that Congress took 7.5 months to pass. I'm just going to let that sit there for a second. So we got all that. We got all that happening, right? And then we look at scriptures like this one that we shared before. I want to look at it again just real quickly. It is Philippians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 4, Paul writes here and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, how many of y'all know that looks great on a t-shirt? That looks great on a coffee cup, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Praise God. But sometimes, you know, that t-shirt is in the dirty clothes and you done broke the coffee cup. And you still got to remember, and not only remember, but to live out this exhortation of Scripture, which is to rejoice in the Lord always. We told you on last month, I believe it was, looking at Paul again in 1 Thessalonians, as he was telling them and by extension us, that we ought to be thankful in every situation. Now, as if that wasn't tough enough, here he is now telling us through his letter to the Philippian church, we ought to rejoice always. Oh, wait a minute, Mark. Wait a minute. You didn't say all of the verse. It's not just rejoice always, because that would be tough. That would be perhaps even impossible to do. But he says these very important three words in between there. In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. How many of you understand? I hope you do. And if you don't, here's a newsflash for you that we not only are admonished to, Minister Collins, but we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can actually rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what's going on. Rejoice in the Lord. How many of you, some of you can testify to this, I'm sure. You're going through a situation or have gone through a situation, and I mean, it could be just devastating. Devastating. When Minister Collins lost members of her family to violence. And here's the scripture that says, rejoice in the Lord always. She's not going to be rejoicing in that situation or about that situation. Who could? But it is exactly because life is so lifey, as my mama would say. It's because life is so daily and it just keeps coming. It's exactly and precisely because of that, that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, admonishes us and charges us to rejoice in the Lord always. Because guess what? There are times you're not going to be able to rejoice in the situation. You're not going to be able to rejoice in the circumstances. Let me slow down. I'm trying to teach you something, not preach at you, but something got a hold of me. Oh, yes, it did. I say something. Y'all know that something is someone got a hold of me. That's just the Holy Spirit. As I think of the words and I rejoice in the fact that God has been merciful to give us this scripture. He's been merciful to help us understand that even when life smacks you upside the head, knocks you down and stomps on you, you can still rejoice in the Lord. I told you earlier this month that your locus of control, that's a psychological term, your locus of control needs to be internal rather than external. If it is external, you're going to be tossed around by every situation that comes your way. You're going to be tossed around by every news cycle that CNN or Fox or CNBC or MSNBC or MOUSC or all of them come at you with. But if you will lay hold of this scripture that says rejoice in the Lord. Don't forget those three words, y'all. In the Lord. Then you're going to be able to weather the storms. You're going to be able to weather the situations that come at you. You're going to be able to weather what other folks are saying and the prognosticators. There's a big word for folks who just trying to talk about something in the future that they don't know either.
Right. Come on now, come on.
There is one who does know.
All right, man.
And that's the one that I'm rejoicing in.
Always.
Paul says, I don't think y'all caught that. I know it's only five words in the English. He says, so let me tell you, I will say it again, rejoice.
Rejoice.
He says, I want to really drive this home because Paul understood the secret of joy. There was a book out some years ago, made Oprah's book list. I believe the title of it was something like Possessing the Secret of Joy. Well, we as the people of God, as the body of Christ, as kingdom citizens, we do possess the secret of joy.
Yes, absolutely.
Doesn't mean you won't go through some things. Oh, you're going to go through some things in this life. In this world, you will have tribulations. Well, Jesus, you're saying tribulations, but here the scripture says rejoice always. Yes. It is not antithetical. It is not an oxymoron. It is the reality and the revelation of the kingdom of God in you not out there, that you can rejoice even when you're going through mess, even when tribulation is upon you, even when the unexpected happens. Raise your hand if you knew COVID was coming last year. Don't even raise your hand. You didn't know. You didn't have a clue. Somebody trying to do hindsight. Yes, the Lord revealed. Shut up. You didn't see this. Come on now. But the Lord knew. And so here we are some 19 centuries later reading these words. Dust that Bible off and grab hold of this scripture that says rejoice in the Lord always.
I say.
Again, rejoice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because Paul understood some things, so much so that it was this same Paul who wrote in the 14th chapter of his letter to the Romans, what we call the 14th chapter, verse number 17, that the kingdom of God itself is not meat and drink. It's not this physical stuff. It's not where you live. It's not how many degrees you have. It's not your bank account even. It's not who you know and who you're connected to. The kingdom of God is righteousness, first of all. It is that we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. He doesn't stop there, and he says, because you are now righteous, you have peace with God. Now listen, he was already not mad at you. He sent the angels on the day that Jesus was born, whenever that was, December 25th, September 27th, whatever it was, he was born. I know that. I'm not concerned about having the particulars of the calendar or just so. I know he got here. I know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Yeah.
Glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Good morning, Brother Spilker. And so, let me slow down. Thank you, Deacon Fred, to take my time, so I'm going to do y'all. I want you to understand that because of what Jesus has done for us, we have peace with God.
Yes, we do.
Now, we have to understand that on our end. He already sent the angels the night Jesus was born and said, hey, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth.
Peace on earth.
Goodwill to men. I ain't got nothing against you. I sent my son to declare to you, to make clear to you, I'm not mad at you.
Right.
Lay down your arms against me.
Hallelujah.
Paul tells us that we were at one time alienated in our minds from God. God's always been who God is. He's always been everywhere at the same time. He didn't go anywhere. We left.
Right.
Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the Father. Here comes the Spirit of God walking in the cool of the day. And the question, like he always did, Deacon Fred, that's right. See, we get it twisted. Sin to separate you from God. In your own mind, you can't go where he's not, David said, Psalm 139. I'm going to separate myself from God. You are... let me not call nobody out their name. Let me just say it's foolish. It's foolish to think you can get away from him. It's foolish to think you can run. You can run, but you can't hide. Adam found that out. He said, Adam, where are you? Not because I don't know, but because you have hidden yourself from me. You have alienated yourself in your own mind from me. I'm right here where I've always been. Let's talk. My God, today, I hope somebody gets that.
Yes.
Millions, if not billions of people running around the planet thinking God's mad at them, thinking God doesn't love them, thinking God isn't even concerned about them. He sent his son Jesus.
Right.
second member of the Trinity, to make clear to us, I'm not mad at you. And in fact, I'm going to come here as you, live amongst you as a man, die a sacrificial life on your behalf,
yes, sir,
and by the power of God, be raised again, sealing the deal and proving to you once and for all there is peace between God and man. All you have to do is believe it,
right,
to accept it, and then begin to walk that out by the power of Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes.
See, it's real simple, but we love to complicate things. How many of y'all understand that human beings love to complicate stuff?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we're real good at that.
Yeah.
We can. Oh, Lord, don't get me started. And so here's this simple admonition from Paul to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. He admonishes us to do this because it's in our best interest and because by Holy Spirit's power, we are able to do it. How do you stay so calm when all around you is crazy? It isn't just by sheer force of will. You ain't got that much willpower. Man, your willpower is gone before you get to the door. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that you have to rely upon.
Absolutely.
Not by our own power, our own might, but by the power of God.
Yes.
And so Jesus tells his disciples, and I hope that that includes you. You one of his disciples, right?
Yes.
Well, I was kind of weak out here. Maybe
yes.
I asked the Facebook crew, you're one of his disciples, right? I hope you are this morning, or otherwise, maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd. Maybe I need to go on Clubhouse or something and see what's up over there. They cutting up on Clubhouse too, y'all. Lord Jesus. Okay. But he tells his disciples, and by extension us, I've told you all this so that my joy, this is John 15:11, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete, may be full.
Yeah. Overflow.
I told you that as Holy Spirit indwells us, that the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ indwells us. He's closer than your next breath. Dr. Leonard Sweet says, there is no distance in indwelling. There is no distance. He right there, all the time, every day. All day. But are we maintaining an awareness of that? Now, there's where practice comes into play. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we have an opportunity to show up.
Yeah.
Are we aware? I had in my notes here, and I think I hit it on last week, but I just want to point it out again. I'm just going to hopscotch a little bit for these next 10 minutes and while we wrap this thing up. But he's in me. And I write here in my notes, we cannot afford to be passive about the presence of God in us.
Right.
I'm going to say that again.
Right.
We cannot afford to be passive about the fact that God's presence indwells us. That's a big deal, y'all.
Yes, it is.
That's a big deal.
The
one who created heaven and earth, the one who hung the stars in place, the one who, if there was a big bang, he did it, okay?
Right.
The one before the bang indwells us.
Yes.
He is in us. That's a big deal. And we, I think, all too often throughout the day, forget that. We're not mindful of it. We don't practice an awareness of his presence in us. And so when situations and circumstances assail us from the outside, as they certainly will do, we find ourselves overwhelmed. Oh, I know y'all don't know nothing about overwhelmed. That's just me. But some of us will be completely honest and say there are situations and circumstances, relationships and folks that just overwhelm you. And may I suggest to you that it is particularly important at those times to remember and remind yourself of the indwelling presence of God. That we are by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit in us able to rejoice in the Lord, even though the situation is overwhelming. Let me read an Old Testament scripture to you, because I want y'all to understand we are some privileged folks to be living in 2020 and then hopefully 21 in a minute. We are some privileged folks because we are living on this side of the cross as opposed to that side of the cross. But even on that side of the cross, I want to tell y'all God was amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Amongst his people. And that Holy Spirit was active even then.
Yes, sir.
And would show up on behalf of the people of God when they would ask God, where are you? Help me out here. They would find that God would show up.
Yes, yes.
So, just quickly, this is the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. You can read it in its entirety on your own time. But right now, I just want to read the first few verses of it. It's a familiar story to many of us, and Bishop has preached it many times here. It's powerful stuff. But I want to tie it together with the joy of the Lord and the presence of God in you and how that you have to do what you do. Don't get this if you miss anything else, because the secret, the not so secret secret of joy is that it's already in you. He's, my God, that just went all through me. Jesus just said, my God, let me slow down just for the last few minutes here. Let me slow down. Deacon Fred said, good luck. Thanks, Fred. Okay. He said, boy, it's moving. Here we go. Jesus says, John 15, 11, I told you all of this so that my joy may be in you. That's important, in you, and that your joy may be complete, right?
Yeah.
Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. That's important, in the Lord.
Yeah. Oh.
He says, be thankful in every situation because you're in the Lord. That's where the thanksgiving is coming from, in you, not out there or because of what's out there. You got to untie and untangle yourself from the out there with respect to your joy and your sense of peace and your sense of righteousness, because that's the kingdom. And Jesus told his disciples very clearly, the kingdom of God ain't here, there. Oh, here it is. It's on that mountain. It's down in the valley. No, he said the kingdom of God is in you. Lord, I hope that y'all are picking up what I'm putting down this morning. And so, thank you, Sister Felicia. She's scribing for me on Facebook here, y'all.
Amen.
Appreciate that. Y'all need that later. So let me jump quickly to, this is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 I'll start at. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites raided the Negev, that's this desert area, and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. This was his whole community. This was his wives, his children, his friends and family, grandpa, everybody. They snatched him up, took everything, wiped them out, and burned the place.
Burned
the place. They took the people, burned the place. When David and his men reached Ziklag, this is verse number 3, chapter 30, 1 Samuel, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Have you ever felt like the world just took you hostage? Or maybe that's just me. Okay, let me keep reading. I'm almost through. So David and his men wept aloud.
He cried out loud.
He said, wait a minute, men don't cry, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. You let something like this happen to you, you cry. They cried out loud and cried until they had no strength left to cry. That's some crying. That's an awful lot of crying. Verse 5, David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been greatly distressed? It happens. It happens in 2020. 2020 has been one of them years that will greatly distress you. He was greatly distressed because the men were now talking about stoning him.
Yes.
He's like, don't y'all realize my wives and children are gone too, just like yours? And they're like, after they got through with a good cry, wiped their eyes a little bit, they got to looking around at David. They're like, where's a rock? I need a rock. I'm about to stone this boogie. He's the cause of all of this. You out trying to do the right thing. You just coming back from a victory over here. Come on, Mark. You just coming back from a victory. Let me tell you something. You just coming back from a victory. And the next thing you know, your friends are looking for a rock to stone you. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord,
yes, sir.
His God. That's the simple point I wanted to make right there. David over in the Old Testament, Paul over in the New, both came to the same conclusion. When life is overwhelming, you better find your strength and your joy in the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because it's obvious it ain't out here.
Right. No, sir.
It's in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Good advice then, great advice now. He is your strength, the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Sister Chris, for tying it all together. She went to Nehemiah 8 and 10 and tied it all together. She said, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, sir.
And so it is. So it is. So we must value the presence of God more highly than we have perhaps valued the presence of God in the past. Because it is only through, I mean, y'all got me sweating. It is only through the presence of God and the kingdom of God, that is righteousness, joy, and peace, that you're going to be able to navigate the situations and circumstances that life will throw at you. Because, hey, it will throw them at you. Listen, world leaders have had COVID. Now, they had the best of medical care, obviously, to get over it. But it was indiscriminate. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He didn't care about your title or your degrees or where you live. He don't care about none of that.
Equal opportunity.
It was an equal opportunity virus. You're right about it, Deacon. But as we realize that God has placed his joy, his own joy in us. That the kingdom itself, because we have been declared righteous, we have peace and we have joy in the Holy Ghost. It is so important that you understand those little words right there. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Holy Ghost. That'll keep you, hopefully, from looking for it somewhere else where it's not. You may find a momentary happiness, a bit of pleasure for sure. You can find pleasure in a hamburger. Say, man, you let you get hungry enough. Oh, man, this thing is the best thing I've ever had in my life. It's just McDonald's, y'all. What? They love to see you smile, but I mean, what? You know. There you go. It's the secret sauce, Fred said. But you can get a moment of pleasure in so many ways. And some people find themselves constantly then seeking pleasure because they don't have joy. I'm going to walk away on that one just a minute. They find themselves looking for pleasure. I got to be better than the last time. Better than the last high. Better than the last experience. Because it's not lasting. It isn't permanent. It don't stay with you.
Right.
Joy does. Pleasure, not so much. And so, when we realize, enjoy the pleasure, but realize it's passing. It's momentary. You get that new Tesla in your driveway, boy, you super happy. You feel good when you're driving. But there's tons of other stuff that's still smacking you upside the head. Tons of other stuff that is not so great.
Right.
And so the joy, okay, Sister Felicia, Minister Tucker said, I can drop the mic now. Just walk off the stage. I'm done. That's hilarious. So the joy is permanent because the joy is in you as you are in him. We walk away from joy when we pursue just pleasure.
Right.
We erroneously fool ourselves, it's a lie of the enemy, that the pleasure is going to last forever. And so when it doesn't, we're back to seeking it. We're back to trying to make ourselves feel better than the last time. Come on now. I'm helping somebody today. They may be on the replay. I don't know. But the joy of the Lord is permanent because the joy is him. It's his presence. He put his joy in you. Quit looking for it out there. You can find pleasure. You can find some kind of momentary happiness out there, sure. But the joy of the Lord is an internal thing. I'm going to pull the covers off this morning and let you know the secret is the presence of God in you. It is him in you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So when life becomes crazy, as it certainly will, rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord who's in you. Find your strength in the joy that he put in you. The Holy Spirit's fruit is evident in joy, amongst other things. That, again, is internal. The kingdom of God, not out there somewhere, it's in you. That's the secret. In fact, let me say this, and I'm going to quit. Let me say this. It is because of the fact. Oh, this is good. It's because of the fact that the joy is in him and he's in you that makes it unreachable by the circumstances out here. And it is, in fact, the reason you can successfully navigate the circumstances out here because of the joy inside that is in his presence, that is in you. Now you said, man, listen, man, if I was making about $1 million a month, I ain't got to worry about the joy of the Lord. I could just buy constant and permanent joy. Well, maybe something you can certainly try. You can certainly try. Huh? But what Biggie and Puff say, Sister Linda? More money, more problems. Yeah. Oh, I done given about everything I can here, y'all. The joy is in him. He's in you. Makes it unreachable by the circumstances out here. That's right, Minister Tucker. So, as we wrap, it's 10 o'clock. I'm going to go about 3 minutes here with any Q&A. If you got a question out there on Facebook or a comment about the series, I'd welcome you to type it in now. And we're going to let everybody know. And if there's something that you just didn't get, I tried my very best. I was trying hard, y'all, to make it plain, to make it simple. We don't, you know, listen, I'm through with complicating things. Amen. Trying to fool people or impress folks. Oh, Jesus, don't get me started. I ain't trying to impress you. I love you. I do love you. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to help you and be obedient to God. I'm not trying to impress you. And so if you know, if you ain't satisfied or think, you know, you get your little feelings on your sleeve or whatever you're doing out there, I hope not, but if you, I'm sorry, I truly am. I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm not trying to impress you either.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Tucker said, that's her motto. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to help you. By the gifting and love of God that he has placed in me. Sorry, not sorry. That's just how it is. And so know that every time I get up here before you, every time you see me on Facebook or in person, I hope I'm trying to help you, trying to build you up, trying to lift you up. Now, don't confuse that with babying you, because I'm not going to do that for long. I may baby you for a minute because you're really going through today. I may be, you know, extra kind. But I can't help you by just babying you all the time. How many of you understand? You parents certainly do. You know, you ain't trying to wipe up your 12-year-old. Not trying to do it. Trying to, let me get a bottle warm for him and make sure it's just, let me put a little milk on my wrist and make sure it's not too hot for Johnny. And this booger's almost a teenager and you try, let me get... Yeah, because he likes his milk just a certain temperature. You better grow up, John. Sorry. Now, baby, you, if the Lord says so, for as long as he says so, but there comes a point in which I'm enabling you and not helping you. I'm not trying to be codependent to your... Come on. Come on. But I love you. How many of you understand as I close? Since I don't see no questions, I see some comments and praise God for those. But as I rush to my seat, let me... Fred's out here preaching to me in the audience, y'all. I just want to let you know that God himself will sometimes pull the plug on that baby coddling stuff. And it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Listen, when you're trying to, you parents can verify this, you're trying to teach Junior to walk. You know? And he done got able to stand up. He's walking around the coffee table, knocking stuff over now. Little booger is getting into devilment at this point. And even though, you know he'll get into more when he's fully ambulatory here, you try to teach him to walk because you know he's going to need that to do what he's going to do in life. And so you stand him up and you hold out your hands and you say, come here, baby. Come on, Junior. You can do it. Come on. And Junior takes a couple of steps. And then what you do? Mother Bobby says you applaud and you tell him, yeah, that's good. But what else you do? You back up. He takes another step and he's looking at you like, why ain't you reaching out and grabbing me? And you back up. Did you stop loving Junior? No. You want him to keep on walking. It's because you love him that you backing up a little bit. You're still in plain sight. He can still see you. He knows your presence. But for a moment, you're denying him your touch. You're denying him that comfort that comes with picking him up and carrying him. All that's coming in a minute. But I need you to take a few more steps, Junior. Whew. Lord God. I appreciate that, Pastor Carol. She says, my teaching in 2020 has brought much joy in a trying time. And I appreciate that. I certainly do. I certainly do. Because we're wrapping this bad boy up. We're heading into 21, and it's going to be good. Better than before. You know, can I say this? You know, 2020 pushed the bar down so low, 21 wouldn't have to do much to be better. Friend said, if you wake up breathing in 21, it's better than 20, okay? You never ain't gonna have to do much. So maybe that's the good part right there. But I'm telling you, God is, I'm not gonna prophesy, I'm not gonna do it. But I'm going to tell you this much, that 21, you better be ready to hit the ground running. 21 is going to be moved. 21's moving already. 21's moving already. I'm not even going to tell y'all, even according to the Jewish calendar, we already in 5781 back in October. We already in 21 on that calendar. There's an overlap. I told you I'm not going to prophesy. I'm going to leave that alone. We're going to stick to the joy this morning. But I hope you have received something. Yeah. Hit the ground running. That's right. 21, you better hit the ground running. It's coming. And listen, I hope that I have helped to equip you with some knowledge, with some information, some revelation, some illumination that will help you hit the ground running in 2021.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, she, mother said, I'm running now.
Okay.
She said, 21 ain't going to catch me sitting still. I'm already running. Hallelujah. I love it. So go with God. He's certainly going to go with you. Go with us, and we're going to do you good.
Absolutely.
In Jesus' name. We'll see you, the Lord say the same, in 2021 right here with whatever the Lord gives us to share with you. And in the meantime and in between time, as my friend Mr. Felix Anderson says, in the meantime and in between time,
keep on running.
Keep on running. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye now. Praise God.
That was good.
God bless you.